This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Somebody said there's power in his name.
He's my rock, sword and shield. He's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's my lily of the valley, He's my bride and my morning star. It makes no difference what they say. I'm going down on my knees and pray, 'cause I've got to wait on Jesus. I believe I'll wait on Jesus. I believe I'll
wait on Jesus.
Oh, oh, until he comes. He's my rock,
yeah,
sword and shield. He's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's my lily of the valley. He's my pride and my morning star. It makes no difference what they say. I'm going down on my knees and to pray, 'cause I've gone away.
Wait on Jesus.
I believe I will.
Wait on Jesus.
I believe I'll wait on Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, oh, Jesus. Oh, and I'm waiting. I'm waiting on Jesus. Anybody here waiting? I'm waiting
on Jesus.
I can tell you one thing.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
I'm gonna be like a Joe.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
I'm
waiting on Jesus.
All my flesh is gone.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
Anybody here, are you waiting?
I'm waiting on Jesus.
Are you waiting?
I'm waiting on Jesus.
Oh, oh, until he comes. I'm waiting.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
Anybody here waiting?
I'm waiting.
Somebody.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
I'm reminded of Jacob.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
Jacob wrestled with the angel.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
He wrestled all night long.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
He said, I won't let it go.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
Until you bless my soul.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
Anybody here, are you waiting?
I'm waiting on Jesus.
Whoa, whoa. Says,
I'm waiting.
If I make one step,
I'm waiting.
He'll make two.
I'm waiting.
There's no limit.
I'm waiting.
What God can do.
I'm waiting.
Oh, oh, yeah. Hey, I'm waiting.
I'm waiting.
I'm waiting.
I'm waiting.
Anybody?
I'm waiting.
Are you waiting?
I'm waiting.
Let me tell you
I'm waiting.
What I'm gonna do.
I'm waiting.
I'm gonna stay right here.
I'm waiting.
I'm gonna stay right here.
I'm waiting.
Till the morning comes.
I'm waiting.
Anybody here?
I'm waiting.
Know what the word says?
I'm waiting.
We've been to me.
I'm waiting.
Do for a night.
I'm waiting.
Tell somebody.
I'm waiting.
Joy is here.
I'm waiting.
Joy is here.
I'm waiting.
I'm waiting.
I'm waiting.
I'm waiting.
I'm waiting.
Hallelujah. The late Sister Argerine Smith would say, you can't hurry God. You just have to wait. Amen. How many of you are waiting on him to make a way to open doors? Hallelujah. And then somebody said, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. How many of you know him to be an on-time God? Yes, he is. God bless you. As we stand, you have your Bibles. We want to call your attention to the book of Acts, chapter 12. And we will read 14. for your hearing verses 1 through 11. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. Verse 8. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and was not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Amen. As you take your seats this morning, I would that you would think with us in terms of a subject, a setup for a comeback. Amen. A setup for a comeback. Amen. I'm sure that many of you either saw or heard, and it's been several years now, thank you, ushers, but you saw or heard about the college basketball team from the University of Louisville that would go on to become the NCAA national champions. Their team had advanced to the Final Four of the NCAA championship. They defeated Wichita State and then finally went on to win the championship against Michigan. However, those of you who can remember this great victorious event, you will remember that the week did not start out all so good for them. Their sophomore guard, Kevin Ware, in a game against Duke, with about 6 minutes and 33 seconds left in the first half of the game, broke his leg. And if you remember watching it, he broke his leg in such a heinous and gruesome way that the bone extended some 6 inches through his skin. His teammates and his coaches, grown men, were crying and flinching, some even regurgitating because his injury was so gruesome. One team member kneeled next to him and had prayer. In spite of how gruesome his injury was, all he kept saying to his coaches and his teammates as they rushed him to the hospital was, "Win the game, win the game." And they did win that game and the one against Michigan, making them the national champions. One interviewer asked him after he was released from the hospital, "Do you plan to play basketball ever again?" He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "This is just a minor setback for a major comeback." And I like that so much that I thought I would borrow it, amen, for this message today. Because that's what seems to be going on in the life of Peter in this passage. The Apostle Peter has an interesting life story. You Bible readers know about Peter's life story. It's very interesting. He is one of the leaders in promoting the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in the early church. He does everything he can to make sure everyone knows that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world to those who will believe. Peter, y'all, takes his job seriously. He really preaches the same sermon over and over again. From Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 10, he preaches the same sermon over and over again. Do y'all want to know what his sermon was? His sermon was simply this, that Jesus died, but early one Sunday morning, he rose with all power in his hands. He took very seriously the mandate of the Lord Jesus Christ that Christ gave to us on resurrection ground over in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. When Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He heard Jesus give those remaining 11 disciples their marching orders, and he took it seriously. He took seriously what happened many chapters before when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am? And who do you say that I am?" And you Bible readers will remember that it was Peter who responded, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." To which Jesus responded, "Blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Peter preached about Jesus. Tell your neighbor he preached about Jesus. And I love it because we hear the Master saying that if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And when Peter preached on one occasion, there were some 3,000 souls saved. By the time we get to Acts chapter 12, we are 10 years removed from the Lord's resurrection. Souls are being saved and lives are being changed. He found out that not all are excited about the preaching of the gospel and the growth of the church. As a matter of fact, Herod is threatened by the promulgation of the gospel. He is so threatened, y'all, that Herod has now begun, the Bible says, to persecute the Christians. The one he chooses to execute is a brother by the name of James. As a consequence of his execution, Herod's public opinion polls begin to rise. So he says that if me hurting these Christians is going to cause my polls to rise, then I'm going to hurt some more of them. And he said, as a matter of fact, I'm going to do one better than James. I'm going to get this one they call Peter. Y'all know the cussing disciple. I'm going to get Peter. Amen. He gets Peter. Peter is in solitary confinement. The Bible says that guards are at the door. They put chains on his wrists. Peter is not just in prison, y'all. He's on death row. In just a little while, Peter is going to be executed. It's not looking real good for Peter. He's got a setback. He was doing well when he was preaching Christ and him crucified, and the church is growing in great numbers. Amen. The Bible says that this Peter, who was taking his responsibility serious by preaching the gospel and the church is growing in great numbers, is now in prison and on death row. Guards all around him, chains on him. But it's in the midst of his trouble. And I know I've got some witnesses here today, amen, who aren't ashamed to say, "Pastor, it was in the midst of trouble that I learned what praise was really all about. It was after going through some trials and some troubles. It was after being talked about and lied on that I learned what real praise is all about. And I've reached the conclusion, my brothers and sisters, that that's why some folk can't praise God, because they haven't been through anything and had the Lord to extricate them from their trouble. Because when you know that you know that you know that it was nobody but God that healed your body, it was nobody but God that brought you through, it was nobody but God who made a way out of no way, then you know where your praise ought to be directed. I wish I could get just two or three folk in here who know that it was the Lord who brought you through to give him some praise. And so Peter discovers some things that I think will help those of us who have to deal with setbacks. And let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, if you've never had to deal with setbacks in life, just keep on living. If you've never had to, amen, go through anything, just keep on living, because life has a way of getting to us. No matter if you're in the White House or in the poorhouse, trouble will find your address. But Peter says, I learned some things in the midst of my setbacks. The first thing that he learns is that genuine faith works even in the night seasons of our lives. Oh my, the brother is in prison with soldiers all around him, chains on his wrist. The Bible says, and this gets me, because the Bible says in the midst of all of this, the brother is sleeping. Tell your neighbor, nudge your neighbor, say he's sleeping, he's sleeping. I'm talking about while he's in the night season of his life. I'm talking about when it looks the darkest. I'm talking about when things look dismal and devastating. The Bible says the brother is sleeping. Oh, some of y'all don't feel me. You're not feeling me right through here. It's because I've discovered it's easy to have faith and talk about faith when everything's going right for you. But it's something else when the lights go out and the bills aren't paid and the bill collectors are calling. Peter teaches us that even in trouble and calamity, true faith says, go to sleep. Because you know who your God is, and you know what he's able to do. Now, I just helped somebody right there. You could really just have your own benediction and go home. That's the word you needed today, because you've been up all week. You've been up all night. You've been pacing the floor. But Peter has come to teach you today that in the midst of your night season, you may as well go to sleep, because he never sleeps, he never slumbers, and God can handle whatever you're dealing with. Faith says go to sleep. Anybody can have faith when you got a pocket full of money. Anybody can have faith when all of your friends and your family members are doing well. You know when your children are acting right? At least as far as you know, amen, they're going to class and they're getting good grades and they're doing all, they ain't using drugs and none of that, you know. It's easy to praise God when everybody around you is doing what they're supposed to be doing. Anybody can have faith when you have the job you wanted to have and you just got a promotion last week. The question of the hour, my brothers and sisters, is can you have faith when you don't have a pot to put a chicken in? The question of the hour is can you have faith when your friends are few, when your money is funny and your change is strange? When you don't have a job, as a matter of fact, you don't even have the prospect of getting an interview. True faith says, even when you can't track God, you can trust him. Oh my, oh my, oh my, that's good news for me. I learned that, you know, every now and then I have these boxes that show up on my porch And sometimes I forget, and I get home, and there's 2 or 3 boxes there, and I'm saying, now, who ordered that stuff? And I forget I'm the only one living there, and so I must have ordered it. But every now and then, you will order something, and it don't show up when they say it was supposed to show up. But you go to your email and find out that you got a tracking number, and you can put that tracking number and find out just where it is. It'll say it's in Alexandria, en route to Leesville. But one thing you need to know about our God is that there will be times you cannot track him, you cannot trace him. As a matter of fact, it seems like he's left you out there all by yourself. But I have come by to tell you today that even when you can't track him, tell your neighbor you can trust him. You can trust him. You can trust him. You may not be able to see him, but you can trust him. You may not even feel him, but you can trust that he will be there for you. We know that if God is for us, he's more. I said he's more than the world against us. We know that he has a way of working things out for the good of those who love him. So we find Peter in the midst of his problems, in the midst of impending death, the brother is sleeping. Can I tell y'all some more reasons why he was sleeping?
Come on, come on.
He's asleep because he remembers the Lord's promise.
Yeah, all right.
Matthew chapter 16. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It doesn't mean the enemy ain't going to try you, but they won't prevail. I wish I had some witnesses up in here. You know, sometimes we're so forward-minded that we don't look back long enough to remember how some of our enemies had us in precarious positions. I'm talking about there was some folk on your job. They had you. They thought right where they wanted you to get you fired, to get you demoted, to get you to lose your job. But now that you've been through it, you can look back and so that even though they tried, they did not prevail. Who's worthy of praise for that today? It doesn't mean that your enemies won't try to harm you. And it doesn't mean they won't try to destroy you. But it does mean that God has promised they will not succeed. It's like the scripture passage, and I'm not ashamed to tell anybody it's my favorite passage. It's one I use all of the time. It's the one that says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, God shall condemn. It's not that they're not going to form some weapons against me, but the good news is they will not succeed. Is there anybody here today glad that you can stand on the promises of God? Are you glad that he made you some promises? And one reason you would not be shouting right through here is because you don't know the word well enough to know what he promised you. But I wish I could get my Bible readers, those of you who know what he promised you that you would be the lender and not the borrower. He promised you that you would be the head and not the tail. He promised you that he'd never leave you nor forsake you. If you know what he promised, you ought to give him praise. He promised, I will keep you in perfect peace.